Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment and for bringing each and every person here this morning. This is not coincidence, Lord. For we, your people, have not been very faithful either. And we want to know how to deal with it. And we also want a glimpse how you feel about it. So, Lord, send your Spirit now to speak loud and clear through me. Let me turn invisible and let Jesus be seen and heard. Keep Satan away. Let the peace of heaven rest on this sanctuary. So the message that you have prepared for us will not be lost. And there will be no distractions. So Lord, use me now in spite of me. And let us clearly hear your distinct voice, we pray. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Elijah the Tishbite was called. And he went from his home in Tishbe, which we really don't know where it is, somewhere in Gilead, and he went straight to Samaria. From Samaria, he went straight back to Gilead, somewhere in the desert, and hid for a length of time until God told him to go to Zarephath. And later on, from Zarephath, he will go to Carmel, but that's not until 2 weeks from now. And so these are the movements of Elijah during this time of drought and tragedy. And so we want to look at today part two, the hand of faith. And I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 1 Kings 17. We're going to read verses 8 onward. 1 Kings 17. Open your Bibles there if you would. Children, you got your Bibles? I hope you have your Bibles. Open your Bibles up. Follow along. This is a fascinating story. And here's an element that has to be included in this series, the real troubler of Israel. We'll start slowly but surely to confine down the options we have of who the troubler of Israel really is as we look at this today. Okay, you have 1 Kings 17? All right, and we're going to start, as I said, with verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and for my son, that we may eat and what? Die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from its first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on this earth." So she went away and did according to the words of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Whoa, what a story. So let us pause for a moment and let us look at what we know about the widow. Number one, she was a widow. Number two, she had a son. Number three, she lived in Zarephath. Number four, she was a what? Gentile. Number five, now folks, I want this to impact you. We don't know how long it's been now, but at least, let's say, a year, and the brook dried up, and God had to send Elijah to Zarephath to this widow to be refreshed, tells us that still Israel has not repented. And number six, God could not entrust to Israel His prophet. He had to send him away to a foreign land in order for his safety to be sure. Folks, I want this to impact us as we stop and think. How long would a judgment from the Lord take before you realize God was trying to speak to you? And imagine that He could not entrust His people with one of His children. Are we like that? You know, the tsunami, Sandy, Katrina, fires, earthquakes, floods. What more does God have to allow Satan to get away with? All the destruction and devastation before God's children wake up. And God forbid that we be a church in which there are certain people that God could not send through the door because we would stamp them out. And so because of the situation that was current at that time, Elijah was sent to a foreign land because his people's heart were so hardened that they did not recognize the clear visual material signs that were impacting them incredibly. Here's some more that we know about the woman. We know that she had what? Strong faith. And she did what? Acted on her faith. And she was greatly blessed. Now I may have caught you by surprise here. What strong faith? I want you to know my Bible says she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. That is incredible faith, folks. You mothers out there, come on. She had a little boy. Do you think she's going to give the last bit of bread to a stranger? And not to her own son? This woman had faith. And she acted on that faith. She took the word of the prophet for real and went in and did exactly what he said. And I'm sitting there and going, this woman is incredible. And what did we call her? A Gentile. A non-believer. Outside the realm of God's children. And she went and she did it. And by the way, was she greatly blessed? The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. But not only that, I'll save the time today. If you were to look at verse 17 to 24, what else did Elijah do for this woman? Healed her son. Brought him back from the dead. In fact, as far as I can tell, help me, except the body that was thrown on the bones of Elisha, in which he came back alive, and when Elisha also later on did the same thing in laying on the child of the woman with the upper room, here we have Elijah raising somebody from the dead, just like Jesus did. Brothers and sisters, there's a faith in Elijah and a faith in this woman that has to be dwelt on. And we need to ask ourselves individually, do I have strong faith in the God of Israel? Do I act on that faith in behalf of the God of Israel? And for Elijah, pray earnestly. And for this woman, I believe she prayed earnestly. And she was greatly blessed. How I want to be a minister that when God gives me a sign of judgment, I repent immediately. I want to be a church member that God can entrust anybody into my hands. And there's been times when I failed. And so we have to talk about this woman. Do you know how badly I want to get to Carmel? I wanted to get to Carmel. In all my ministry for these 30 years, whatever, I have skipped this part, consciously aware of it, and missed the point that in a time of crisis, there are individuals out there that we consider outside the body who have greater faith and act on that faith more and better than we do. Plus, it tells me there are individuals out there who are searching, and our existence here is to find them along with welcoming those who God sends here. My Bible says she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. Oh, if we could be like that, huh? Folks, you understand that it's going to take greater judgments to come down. We are so materialistic. And I don't know what it's going to take to wake us up, but God's going to do it because He loves us too much not to. And there were individuals like Elijah praying for judgments to come, not because he liked the blood and gore and guts. It's because he was so desperate that Israel would be wiped out. And he said, before they do, Lord, bring something to wake them up. And so I want to share a little thought with you, and I'm almost done here. The widow of Zarephath shared her morsel with Elijah, and in return her life and that of her sons were preserved. Now look at this next section. This one really pierced me personally. And to all who in the time of what? Trial and want, give sympathy and assistance to others more needy. God has promised what? And that woman of Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath, is an incredibly vivid example of that. Quote. Not only did the cruse not run out and the jar remained full, but her son was raised from the dead. How many of you mothers out there pray for your sons and daughters to be raised from the dead? We hope that they're in Jesus. And we pray fervently that they would make a commitment to Him. We didn't raise them to be rich and famous and powerful and important and financially sound and all those things first. We raise them to be Christian men and women, to reach other people. And if in the process they happen to get some fame or fortune or whatever, as long as it's always dedicated to Jesus, that's okay. And so, church family and guests who are here, we need to step up to the plate, and to all who, in times of trial and want, give sympathy and assistance to others more needy, God has promised great blessings. Wow. And so we're reminded that Jesus mentioned that, didn't He? You know, let's take a moment. Go over to Luke and let's read the words of Jesus. He spoke these in the synagogue on Sabbath. In fact, in His hometown, He was allowed to preach. And they did not like the sermon, folks. This was where they tried to throw Him off a cliff. I'll tell you, you've never tried to do that with me. I'm very thankful. And look what it says. Then He said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up for how long? 3 years and 6 months. That's what Jesus said. And there was a great famine throughout all the land, but none of them was Elijah sent, except Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow." By the way, I also like this sermon because it's a woman. And this reminds me of the widow's mite. Didn't Jesus say wherever this gospel is preached, this woman will be mentioned? And what do we find here? That there's another woman in the Old Testament in which Jesus mentions her. And so every time we read Luke, guess what we come across? And so, folks, let's sum up here. The real troubler of Israel, part 2, the hand of faith. What is the key? Come on. What is the key? Prayer is the key. So why aren't you praying? As an individual, as a parent, as a church member. Number 2, who's the real troubler of Israel? We're going to skip that. Prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence. Oh man, I just got a chill. Do you realize that the closer we come to Jesus, the more we believe statements like that, the more we believe we will practice, the more we practice, greater things are going to happen. And God is waiting for His church to step to the plate so that He can use us to be a blessing everywhere we go. Anybody know who that is? Corrie Ten Boom. I want to share with you a true story about a woman who I admired all my life. Actually, the truth is, any of you who have read The Hiding Place, the woman I admire more is her sister, Betsy. But in many ways, Betsy outstripped all of them in her faith. But Betsy died in the concentration camp and Corrie survived. And so I want to read a part of a story to you that I hope will inspire all of us today. And that is that somehow Corrie managed to smuggle into her concentration camp a Bible and a little bottle of vitamins. And one day, suddenly, to their surprise, they were confronted with the issue that they were all being moved to another concentration camp and that they were to immediately board the trains that would take them straight to that camp. And of course, when you're in a situation like that, you begin to set up your environment, and there's certain things you have. And when you move, all of a sudden, everything is vulnerable. And sure enough, Corey took the precious Bible that had been smuggled to her inside of this concentration camp and the little bottle of vitamins, because her dear blessed sister Betsy was very sick and weak. Corey and Betsy had managed to bring some of their things with them to the from the first prison camp, including the vitamin bottle and the Bible. However, when they were moved to the second camp, they were not allowed to take anything with them. Each woman was searched thoroughly as she passed through the line through the gate. All Corey and Betsy could do was pray desperately that their Heavenly Father would protect these items. Corey stood in the line trying to hide behind her back a jumper with vitamin drops and the Bible wrapped inside. And when it was Corey's turn to pass the guard, instead of searching her, he pushed her through the gate with the words, "Move along, you're holding up the whole line." And so Corey and Betsy arrived inside the barrack, bringing not only the Bible, but the vitamins. But the knowledge of God's power to work a miracle was soon to be shown. Soon Corey discovered that there were 25 other women in this particular concentration camp that needed the vitamins as well as Betsy. "What should I do, Lord?" Corey asked. "If I give the drops to all these women, there will be only enough to last one day. And even if I save the drops for Betsy, there will be only enough to last a month." Corey knew what she must do. She lined up all the women who were ill and gave each one a drop. Strangely enough, she lined them up again the next day, and there were still enough drops for everyone. And she tried it again the next day and the next day, and still there was enough. And every time she tilted the bottle, a drop appeared at the tip of the glass stopper. "It just can't be," said Corey. She held it up to the light, trying to see how much was left, but the dark brown glass was too thick to see through. "There's a woman in the Bible," Betsy says, "whose oil jar never emptied." She turned to the story in the book of 1 Kings, and they read about the poor widow of Zarephath who was caring for Elijah, and she continued to have oil in the jar and flour in the flour bin, no matter how much she used. And it was one thing to believe that such things happened thousands of years ago, but it's another thing to believe that it could happen today. And yet it happened. "Don't try to explain it," said Corey to Betsy. "Just accept it as a surprise from the Father who loves you." And then one day, a young Dutch woman, also in the prison camp, came to Corey with a look of excitement on her face. "Look what I got for you," she said. "Vitamins." Somehow she had stolen them from the staff room. And there were 7 huge containers of vitamins and yeast compound. "We'll finish the drops first," thought Corey. But that night, no matter how long she held the bottle upside down and how hard she shook it, not another drop appeared. Oh, for a faith of Elijah or a Gentile widow of Zarephath. That's what God is waiting for in the pastor of and the members of the paradise, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. And we pray you let no one be discouraged or afraid. For if you can work miracles like these, Lord, then we have nothing to fear. Help us to spend time with you every day in prayer and Bible study so that our faith can be strengthened by the presence of the Spirit and we can practice these principles that you're waiting for your people to practice. So bless each one now. Encourage each one now. And don't let anyone leave this sanctuary today or turn off their computer till they make a decision, Lord, for you. So guide and direct so that Jesus may receive the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.